Welcome back. Is St. Louis a trendy place? Depends on whom you ask and what you're talking about. Today we're talking about trends in restaurants with our friends at Sauce Magazine, Catherine Claney, Managing Editor, and Meera Nagarajan, Sauce's Art Director. I asked Catherine if St. Louis can be called a trendy city.
Absolutely. St. Louis is definitely trending when it comes to particularly the drink scene. Our cocktail programs are nationally recognized, as are our beer and brewing scene are definitely following some of the national trends. And then our food scene is following, while we definitely follow certain national trends, St. Louis has its own trends that they really seem to focus on. And that's what we like to focus on in Trend Watch when we run that piece.
Meera, do we inspire trends or do we follow them?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, definitely, you know, people... We all read a lot. We all go travel, and chefs are no different, and bartenders are no different. So I'm sure they take inspiration from travels. But we have a lot of creative people who are doing interesting things, and other people do take notice.
Hey, the ice cream cone. Let's not forget the ice cream cone. They're all started right here.
Full of innovation.
Okay, let's get to some of the trends that you cite in the magazine. And Catherine, we'll begin with you, I think. Is it Meera? No, we're going to start with raclette. And Meera, what is raclette? I'm in the dark.
So raclette is a Swiss cow's milk cheese that it's a super melty cheese, and it's a little funky, a little grassy. And traditionally, you could find it melted over boiled potatoes or pickles or stuff like that. But lately, what we've been seeing is at Frankly Sausage's food truck, which is one of my favorite food trucks, owner Bill Cawthorn does French fries, and then he melts raclette over this like heated, looks like this little contraption that just heats the top layer of the cheese, and then he shaves it off onto the hot French fries, and it is such an addictive, delicious thing, and I love it at Food Truck Fridays.
You know, cheese is so versatile. You can use cheese, put it in basically everything.
I mean,
you?
Who doesn't love melted cheese? I mean, nobody. But, you know, at Urban Chestnut, we've seen them top it over winter vegetables. At Larder and Cupboard, which is in Maplewood, they're a artisanal food shop. They had a fondue and raclette class. And Jim Fiala, who is at The Crossing, he melted it over some beef tenderloin. I believe that's still on the menu. So it's very versatile also.
Sounds delicious. Catherine, to you, for people who like it hot.
For people who like it spicy, sambal is all the rage in restaurants right now. People may be familiar with sriracha in a lot of Asian cuisines. It's the big red bottle with a rooster on it. Sambal is sort of its Southeast Asian cousin. It is a spicy chili paste that you often see served as a condiment. Chefs are using it in the dishes themselves. So we've seen it at Hero Asian Kitchen, where it was used on a grilled whole squid, and at Gorilla Street Food, where it was on a salmon special, so it's very good on seafood. Planter's House near Lafayette Square uses it to add spice to pickled eggs as a $2 bar snack. And they've also used it in the breadcrumbs on top of a salad to add a little heat to your veggies. The Crossing actually cools it down with an aioli and puts it on a crab cake sandwich. And then Sardella, which is Gerard Kraft's new project, recently hosted a pop-up where he did a house-made sambal that he mixed in with a strawberry jam and used with ricotta cheese and fresh snap peas for a sort of bright, slightly spicy dish that was really highlighted summer veggies.
But you've indicated in some cases the diner can control the heat.
You can. If it's served as a condiment in restaurants, you control all the heat you want. But I think chefs are good at controlling heat without blowing your palate out. Nobody wants you to be so fried that you can't taste their dish.
Did you say the word fried?
I believe
that's our segue to turn to Meera.
That was totally planned.
Meera, go ahead with the fit to be fried.
Well, I am a big Top Chef fan, and Dale Talladay has a restaurant in Brooklyn called Talladay, and on the menu and in his new cookbook, I think it's called Asian American, he has a recipe for breakfast fried rice. It's a sausage, egg, and cheese fried rice. And I hadn't had that before, and it looked delicious. My sister actually went and had it there at his restaurant in Brooklyn, and I started hunting around and noticed that a few people had started putting it on their menus. So half and half, they have a spicy fried rice with scrambled eggs, sausage, jalapeno, and grilled onions, which is another brunch place, so it's meant to be had for breakfast or lunch or brunch. And at Cleveland Heath in Edwardsville, they do a green onion, bacon, peas, and sesame seeds topped with eggs, any style you like on their fried rice. And then there's a place called the Rice House. They have three locations, two in Florissant and one in Maryland Heights right off of Dorset. And they do a breakfast fried rice where they fold in breakfast meat and eggs. So it's a great start to your day.
Fried rice is not something you typically think of at breakfast time.
No, not typically, but I mean, tons of different cultures eat rice in the morning, and this is a Chinese American fusion delight. So you could have it whenever you want,
and it's good. It's always good any time of
day. I bet it's great hangover food too.
Catherine, more restaurateurs are thinking breakfast these days.
Speaking of breakfast, when restaurants typically open, they generally focus on dinner service and lunch service. And if they are a breakfast place, it typically is a diner with everything that you'd come to expect from a pancake and egg and bacon kind of thing. But more restaurants are focusing on breakfast and putting their own spins on some of those classics. So Sardella, again, when they open, I believe it's next month is what they're looking at now. When they open, they will be offering breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They've hosted a series of pop-ups the other week that included dishes that they're trying out for the new menu, such as a coconut yogurt parfait, big stacked breakfast sandwiches, and brioche French toast, I believe it was. Yolklore has just opened in Crestwood. They're a breakfast and lunch only spot. They also has a drive-through for quick service. So if you're in a hurry and you just want to grab a quality breakfast sandwich, you can swing through there. An egg is a successful brunch concept from Spare No Rib that has been so successful that he's opening his own. It's getting its own space. Spare No Rib is moving to a new location, and Egg will become a daily breakfast and lunch spot. So yeah, breakfast is everyone's favorite meal of the day apparently right now.
Well, we have another one on the list for you, Catherine. Am I correctly pronouncing that?
Pretty close. Pozole is a traditional Mexican soup. It's a rich, long simmering pork soup that includes lots of bits of shredded pork, hominy, and it's flavored with onions, garlic, and cilantro. And now, that's been a traditional menu item, often served on the weekends at Mexican restaurants like Lily's, Taqueria El Bronco, Taqueria Durango. And there are places around town that have served it a regular version of it for a while. Cleveland Teeth has had pozole on the menu for years, and Kitchen Culture had a winter version of pozole verde that they enjoyed. But now we're seeing it pop up in restaurants that wouldn't traditionally serve it. Vista Ramen, which opened down on Cherokee Street. Chef Chris Bork is crossing Japanese and Mexican cultures with a pozole-style ramen. So it has pulled chicken, hominy, and really springy ramen noodles. Adds a little extra to it. Sydney Street Cafe actually swapped the protein out. Instead of pork, it was octopus confit in a pozole broth. And then Juniper, which is located in the Central West End, Chef John Perkins added a good taste of the South. He sort of interpreted that dish, used a country ham consomme with charred tomatoes, black radish, zephyr squash, country ham. So a very fancy Southern-inspired pozole at a recent pop-up dinner at the Beehive, which is a venue in the Central West End.
We can't possibly do one of these segments without mentioning ramen noodles at least once.
That's definitely a national trend that we're very excited is finally making its way to St. Louis. We've had several ramen restaurants open up so far this year, and we're expecting more. So we're very excited for that.
Yeah, we've talked about that in the past.
Yes.
Really just all of a sudden, it's just a
it's everywhere.
Burgeoning. Which brings us to dessert, or does it? I mean, we want to talk ice cream at some point, don't we, Mir?
Yes, we always want to talk about ice cream. In July, actually, we did a big ice cream feature that required all of us at the office to eat ice cream several times a day.
It was very difficult.
It was a wonderful challenge.
Well, someone's got to do it.
Someone has to.
Well, you know, there were a few that we missed. We found some really unusual ice cream flavors recently that I wanted to quickly mention at Oleo. They're serving up a tahini ice cream, which is tahini is made from ground up sesame seeds. And so it's got this nutty flavor. And I think there's a little bit of honey in it that adds a floral sweetness to it. And it's made by the people at Clementine's Ice Creamery in Lafayette Square. Also on the menu at Hero Asian Kitchen, we saw a black sesame with honey served up with sesame seeds as a dessert. And at Pirano Pasta at 634 Washington Avenue, Matthew Rice is coming up with these really inventive gelato pops that are going to be available very soon. And our favorite we had at the office the other day was called Turnt Toast. It's a gelato pop where he steeps buttered darkly toasted bread in milk and uses that to make gelato. And then he swirls a Concord jelly sorbet into it. So it really does taste like breakfast, mm-hmm. but in the form of a gelato pop. And it's a wonderful delight.
Well, a breakfast ice cream. I've also heard of bacon flavored ice cream.
Yeah, that's there too. And it's also good. It's all good. You put in an ice cream, you're gonna have a winning combo.
Can't lose. Well, while we're on the subject of sweets, Catherine, take us to the next level with the Krispies.
Absolutely. So everybody has had Rice Krispie treats growing up. They were one of your favorite things to make, one of your favorite things to eat as a kid. Now they're getting weird. Nationally, a place called Treat House in New York has been putting creative spins on these since 2013, and we're starting to as well. Chef Kevin Nashen at Sydney Street Cafe did a very elevated approach where he used the fat from cooked foie gras in the Rice Krispie treat and then topped it with that same foie gras. So that's a very, very elegant version of it. Shift Test Kitchen and Takeout, one of Dave Bailey's projects downtown, offers a rotating selection of traditional and non-traditional options. So you can go for a classic or a chocolate, or you can go for something a little weirder like sriracha, which is definitely on the spicier side. And then Start Bar, which also recently opened downtown. It's an arcade bar, ditches Rice Krispies altogether and swaps in different cereals like Captain Crunch or granola. They've also done Cheetos and Oreos. So it's really whatever can be held together by marshmallow.
But of course, first things first, you've got to get them into the place, right? And to do that, you've got to make your place known.
Absolutely. And that's another thing that we focus on when we do Trend Watch is not just the foods and the drink, but also the decor of a restaurant. What are we seeing around town that's visually in the space very cool? And one of the things we've been seeing is neon signs used as decor. So it's not just for dive bars that have your classic beer sign hanging out front advertising what's inside. These are cool design elements that are lighting up a number of restaurants around town. You can find a red neon sign at Olive and Oak. It's a red heart behind the bar, which is actually a tribute to the owner's young sons who actually both died of congenital heart defects. So it's a nice way to honor them and kind of keep their presence known in the space. Friendship Brewing Co. in Wentzville recently opened, and they have a large sign that in pink letters that spells out EAT that sort of shows people where to go grab some food. And then Vista Ramen, again, actually took its name from the neon sign that they found. A friend who collects them found a neon sign that used to hang above a Missouri movie theater in the 1930s that was called The Vista. And so they took that sign, brought it back to their space, and subsequently named their own restaurant after it.
There's a lot of really good artwork that's been done with neon.
Very cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and associated, obviously, as you've indicated, with beers and many other things that are part of the restaurant trade. Okay, we're coming down the stretch now, and I don't know what it is about these segments, but Mary, you always seem to get the beverages.
Oh, it's a fun job. Well, lately, you know, we've been preparing for our guide to drinking that comes out in September. So that involves a lot of research. But in this past month's Trend Watch, we talked about spritzes specifically, which are, it's a low ABV, which means just like a low alcohol cocktail made with Amaro, which is an Italian herbal liqueur. It's kind of bitter in taste. And they combine that with sparkling wine and club soda. So it's a very good way to have a drink, and you don't get too drunk. You can have a bunch of them, and you have a great night, and it extends your evening. So we've noticed a few restaurants that have spritz menus. So I mentioned Olio earlier. They have a spritz hour daily from 4 to 6, and there's a number of different spritz cocktails on their menu. For example, one is called the Blanc Vermouth, and vermouth is actually an aromatized wine, but it's got the bitter flavor of Amaro, so it still counts. And it's got a grapefruit kind of floral flavor, and they combine that with lemon, sparkling wine, and club soda, and it's very fresh. Vista also has a whole spritz section on their drink menu. Also, Eclipse has a clementine spritz, so something a little bit more citrusy and brighter. And Randolphi's, which is in the Del Mar Loop, has one of the largest Amari selections in town. Their head barman, Jeffrey Moll, curates that, and he has a number of very good spritzes on his menu, and he will guide you if you are unsure.
Do you really want to call this segment Putting on the Spritz?
Yeah.
We might have used that pun in the magazine.
We did use that.
I'm sure you did. I want to thank you both for being with us. Anything to add to all of this? We've covered a lot of ground today.
Well, I mean, if you're, you know, looking to have more cocktail experiences, you know, our guide to drinking, we're going to feature a number of different brewers and bartenders. It should be a very interesting issue.
All right, Mira, thank you. Catherine, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's put on the spritz.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types of wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits. Putting on the Ritz.
Thanks to Catherine Claney and Mira Nagarajan of Sauce Magazine. Coming up, Steve Potter and the Fringe Festival. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.